I have a question, maybe for myself as much as for any of you. Do I appreciate freedom as much as I should? You know, really, to appreciate freedom, I need to have something to compare it against. And you know, all my life, we've lived in a free country. When we get ready to go to Monarch next week, we don't have to clear it with any government official. We can travel where we want to. If I want to change jobs, if I want to sell my house and move somewhere else, we live in a free country. And you know, a few days ago on July 4th, we're popping, you know, we hear these fireworks going off and firework displays and hear about government speeches and all about freedom. You know, it would be good for us each one to stop sometime and even literally be thankful for freedom, that we live in a country where there is freedom. It's good to have it as a reminder, because God, through Moses, commanded the children of Israel, said, you need to be able to remember where you came from. I would like to look tonight at freedom. Can we tell the difference between freedom and bondage? And I don't want it to be just about whether we're slaves or whether we're free people. You know what? There are many people tonight that would look at us as a group and say, you folks are in bondage. You have a strict set of rules that you live by. You have built walls around yourself that you can't even be like the world. Who's telling you to do that anyhow? You folks are living in bondage. You probably heard it yourself. People say, y'all are almost like a cult. You are so strict in your living. You know what? Some folks get bondage and freedom mixed up. You wouldn't think that's possible to mix up the two, but it's being done today. I would like to start out in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. You know, when God told them one of the 10 commandments was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to stop on this day. Don't do any work. I want you to stop and use that time to worship me and reflect. You remember, it's even to the point he said, there's not going to be any manna on that day. You're going to need to collect it the day before, because there is no work to be done. And you know how much the children of Israel had progressed by this time in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. They had progressed to the point that now they had their own servants. There was someone else that was a slave to them. And God reminds them in this. I'd like to start in 13th verse of the 5th chapter. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and all the animals. So he's saying, you know what, you've got your own servants now. But don't work them on this day either. Look at that 15th verse. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So you remember in dealing with others that you were a servant yourself. You know what I want us to look at tonight is, I work in the downtown area. I see a lot of street people. And you can almost have a disgust for the life that they are living. Many of them, their minds are shot probably from drugs. They're almost not like a human in how they conduct themselves. And yet this says, hey, Dan, you remember. We could be in the same place. We hear about that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be in that same place. Let me have some mercy on other people around me that are slaves to sin, remembering I was in bondage one day myself and got set free. And then it also, over in the 5th chapter of Exodus, for them to be able to go back and have something to remember. In the fifth chapter of Exodus, when Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go that they'll be able to worship me. And in the fifth through the eighth verse, Pharaoh got upset about it. He said, I tell you what, y'all got too much time on your hands. Where you have been required to do this many bricks in a day, and we supplied the straw, now you will have to go out and get your own straw and then still make the same amount of bricks, which was impossible to be able to do. And so now comes the beatings from it because they were not able to do it. But this over in Deuteronomy, now those folks are free. And he's telling them, hey, remember what that was. Because you know what happens in our memory? I forget that. And there's other things that we remember. They remembered some other things and forgot the beatings that they had gotten. You know what they remembered? We remembered the leeks and the garlics. The melons. You know what? Forget a melon. I remember the beating that I got when I was back there. But you know, it can be the same way with us today. I forget. Many people are forgetting the bondage that sin had for them back then. And remember, you know what? I felt so free back then. Free? Really? You know what? Just in these requests tonight, we ought to be so thankful for freedom. Yes. We all live in a free country, and yet sin can bind us. We need to be so thankful. Thinking of the verse, salvation will God appoint for bull walls and bulwarks. Salvation was intended to put some protection around my life, to keep me from going back into bondage of sin. And I'm so thankful for it. You know, the two words, freedom and bondage, it ought to be like hot and cold. There's no way that you could get the two mixed up. But you know what? The two are getting mixed up today. There's a verse in Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. We're living in that day today, where the things that a few years ago our nation understood to be good values, they have been trashed today. And now what we try to promote as good values, those are evil spoken of. But I want to tell you what Jesus came to do back then and for us today. It's in Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I'm glad that it's available to us. Many people would say this is bondage. And you know what? They were saying it back then. But in the 11th chapter and in the very last verses, 28th verse, here's Jesus talking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest to your souls. Freedom in my soul. With storms all around me. I was thinking about Sister Wright's prayer request and testimony tonight. When the storms are beating all around her, that the Lord brings a song and does for her what these verses say. Come unto me, ye that are labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you some rest. Right in the middle of the storms, I will give you rest. That's freedom right there. So I was looking at this, what Jesus had to offer. But let's look in John in the 8th chapter at what Jesus faced when he gave this kind of an offer. In John 8 and in the 32nd verse, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, this is no longer talking about if the British are ruling over you or if you're free in that way. Because these folks were in bondage at the time that he's given them this about freedom. They're under Roman rule. But look at this next verse. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye should be made free? You know, at that very minute, they were under Roman rule. They needed to be real careful about how loud they said, we have never been in bondage to anybody, because they were in bondage at that very time right there. The freedom that he was wanting to bring to them, they rejected it. And why did they reject it? Folks, as I look at this, it makes me realize more and more the devil is in the lying business. He is sending out advertisements. He's done it from the very beginning. He did it with Adam and Eve. If you will do this, you know, really what he's saying is you think you've got it good now, but you don't even know how good it would be until you do this over here. For us today, it's the same thing. I want to be real careful because he's putting out his advertisements. When he said Eve had a clear understanding, for me to be free, I've got this one requirement. Of all the trees you can freely eat, don't eat this one or you're going to die. And here comes the devil saying, you want to be really free? You want to really know, you're not really going to die. You know, we have that today all around us. Freedom is this right here. When Jesus is saying, I've got some freedom from you, for you. You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And it goes on down in the 36th verse. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you're going to be free indeed. There is so much bondage in the world around us. And the very people that are caught up in that bondage will tell you, I am free. Some of that bondage, there's an idol of sports. It is amazing to me how much that is in control of the world today. Jesus had temptation sent to him. When the devil told him, I tell you what, you look at all this that the world has to offer, and I'm going to give it to you if you will just fall down and worship me. And you know what? He's putting out the same call to the world today. The idol of the sports world. People are consumed with it today. To the level that I was telling before, they retrofitted our elevators at work. And in every elevator that's been retrofitted, they put two TV screens, one on each side, to where you don't have to look over against somebody else's. And they're put on sports. It's non-stop sports. If you happen to get in the elevator and you need a little more, you might have 10 seconds more that you'd be able to look at some more sports. And I was looking at those. Devil told Eve, you won't die from it. You know, folks, if you were out to tell the sports industry, folks, that will make you die. They would laugh at you. There's no way. And yet spiritually, anything that we allow to consume us besides letting God fill us will bring death to us. Spiritual death. And at all that time, the world can be saying, we're free. You know, 1 Peter says, you be sober, be vigilant. You got an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But I love a verse over in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Because you know what? The Lord does not want us to be ignorant of what the devil has out for us. 2 and 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what? It would be so good for us to be able to see clearly bondage and freedom. The world says freedom is I can go do whatever I want to do and no one can tell me otherwise. You know what? To me, freedom is to follow the word of God and have his blessing on my life and have me free from sin is the greatest thing. There is another idol that people are worshiping, an idol of entertainment. And you know what? It wants to creep in around us. Around me, of where does my time, if I could take a week and dissect it and put it out on a chart, this much time, And let's not just take what I watched on my phone or whatever of that, but my thought process, where did it go during this week? Because you know what, I can have my mind follow after something that I have read or saw. My mind can follow that thing for hours. So if I were to break down my week, what would it look like? How much went into each category? Am I free that I just enjoy getting into the Word of God? Or when I'm not able to read it, my thoughts go there often. Because there are other things that are wanting to fill the world around us. The entertainment world is, I don't want to sit still. Give me something else to make me excited. We drive by Frontier City, and we need to make rides a little more dangerous. I heard about out in Las Vegas, not only do they have over here, you can see that little ride where, you know, they'll even do flips and loops and all that kind of stuff. Well, they took that same kind of ride and put it up on top of a high-rise building over there. So not only do you do those loops, but you look off at 500 or 600 feet where you'll go if that thing crashes. And that is what I need now to be able to keep excited. Folks, the world will look at us tonight and say, you folks are in bondage. Look at how you live. Look how simple your life is. And I say, praise God, it is simple. If I can have the Lord's approval stamped on my life, it's what's going to be the most important. Because the devil has gone out to people, maybe even started as young people, and they started out with a talent. And I was looking at some of these. Entered the entertainment world and was sucked into like a big whirlpool until it destroyed them. I was looking at a name, Whitney Houston. Some people would recognize that name. Just some singer out in the world. But she started out as a little child singing in church. And her voice was so beautiful that, hey, you've got to spread that voice around. And spreading that voice around causes you to, you've got some obligations you've got to meet, and things started spinning faster and faster. To where at about 48 years old, she's having to take some drugs now to keep everything going. And it causes her performance to go down and her popularity to go down. And what do you do if this is your life now? You try to rev it back up again. And I remember when they said, we found her in the bathtub, drowned, and had drugs in her system. Gone out into the eternity at 48 years old. You know, she was so popular, she was free, the world would say. Maybe she made a lot of money. Maybe she was so popular. And yet she's gone out into eternity. And we're over here. They say we're in bondage. But we sing those songs, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. If I don't spend those years preparing for eternity, and I don't have to live them in fear preparing for eternity, I can live them with joy that the Lord has come to me and dealt with me about something. That verse says, my son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Yes. I am so thankful for that. Because you know what? I want the Lord to show me anything in my life that needs to be adjusted. I'd like to hear about it over on this side. Amen. And there was something that happened just in this past week that I said, and quickly the Lord let me know that didn't come out right. Going to need to take care of that. And you know what? Sometimes the real small things, they can seem so small. Now, wait a minute. That's plumb silly to go back and take care of that one. But you know what? If it keeps coming to my mind, I'd rather not have that come up to me again whenever I'm breathing my last breath. What a carefulness it wrought in you. A carefulness, you know what? I want to please the Lord with my life. That's what truly brings freedom. The wages of sin, back when that verse was written, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The pay is still the same as it was back then. Another one that I thought about, Elvis Presley. You know what? He went up to popularity and almost like it's another copy of the same thing again. After a while, it's a fast pace to keep the popularity going. Having to take drugs, except his was legal. He was taking prescription drugs and abusing them and died from it. You know, I remember the day when I heard on the radio, the king is dead. No, the world's king just went to meet the king of all kings. Folks, when the world comes to us and says the life you live is bondage, just take a look around us at what the devil is requiring out of his people. Michael Jackson. You know, he was so popular, but that popularity caused him to have to go to great extremes. You know, to be able to be popular, you got to fit a mold that the world says you need to fit this mold right here. And you remember how many times he would go and have plastic surgery done on his face to change whatever. And I remember also died when drugs were being given to him to try to pep him up for another concert. April 21 of 2016, the Prince is what they called him. The Prince went out to meet the King. Folks, tonight and out in the future, let's don't get bondage and freedom mixed up. The world would like to tell us, and you know what? It comes in closer than that. There are those who have walked away from this that will tell us you don't have to do all that to make heaven. It's not my works that's going to get me to heaven. It's the Word of God. And when the Word of God tells me that it's going to be a careful walk, when it tells me not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter, the ones that's going to enter are those that are doing the will of the Father. And I look at the religious world, and as I hear more about what the religious world is accepting, that this will still be able to make heaven, I say, God, help us. Help me. Because you know what? A lot of times what can happen is the church knows we need to keep separate from this. But as the world goes farther and farther down, let's not adjust a little bit closer to it. Let's keep a separateness. Because I want to tell you, that's where freedom really is. And I want to be able to have it in my life. I want to be able to make heaven my home. There's another verse in 1 Peter. Because the world does not understand it. 1 Peter 4 and 3 through 4. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Pretty bad living. But look at this, we've changed now. But wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Those things that God has saved us from, the world will look at us and say, why can't you still partake of that? They will say you can still partake of that. You just need to make a decision for Christ and you will make heaven your home. I am thankful tonight for truth because it says you'll know the truth and it's going to be the truth that will set you free. Yes. Are we in bondage? Are you in bondage tonight? I remember when I was a child and mom and dad made me come to meeting and I did not want to come. But I realized, you know what, the best thing to do is just go along with it. But I had a plan that one day I would turn away from it. Thought that was going to bring freedom to me. But I am so thankful that before that time came, the Lord dealt with my heart to where my desire then became, Lord, I want to please you with our life. Tonight, we are not in bondage if our desire is, Lord, I want to please you with my life. Instead, we sing that song, we do just what we want to. We get to go just wherever we please. There is nobody saying, folks, get your stuff packed and get to Monarch. It's going to be 100 degrees there, but that's part of your punishment. No, that's part of living for the Lord. He's going to have it in control. We get to go wherever we please, and that's why we're heading for Monarch next weekend. As times get darker, as things get worse, I need to realize the value of, let me put myself around righteous people. Let me put myself in places where I will hear what the Word of God says for me. Because if I'm not careful, I can be caught up in one of those lies that the devil has for me. He knows where my boundaries are. He knows there's no need to waste time on some of those things. I would never go there. But I'll tell you, he knows, and he's willing to take time. He's willing to take years. We have lived long enough to watch what he has done to people that had a firm determination, I'm going to walk close to the Lord, and give it a few years, and they cannot tell the difference of the world and what God requires today. But there's that song in song number 300. I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. This is my choice. I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures. You know, it's not I'm going by a list of rules here. No, there's no thirst there. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure. I found one that is not going to fade away. And I am so thankful for that. So we can look around and see, you know what? On July the 4th, as a nation, we can pop firecrackers and say we are free. And we're in bondage to sin all around us as a nation. But you know what I am thankful for? I've seen in the Bible that there were people that were in bondage literally, and yet they were just as free as could be. Paul was one of those. You know, he didn't even say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. The Lord's got me in this place right now. And I was looking at Daniel. Daniel's life is amazing to me. As a young man, he goes into what we call bondage, and yet he had freedom his whole lifetime. He had not so much freedom of whether he was able to walk around and do whatever. He had that too, because the life he lived caused those above him to set him up in high places. But it wasn't because of that. There was nothing that could be done to keep him from being free. You know, whenever it came time, we just see little spots in his life of where he was needed. It could have been years in between those. But you know what? We never see when they needed to call him to translate a dream. We never see him say, you know what? Hold on a minute. I have been lax in my walk with the Lord. I wouldn't even be able to hear his voice right now. I got to clear up some things and maybe I can get back with you. You know, he kept his life up to date all through there. To where when they come and tell him, hey, there's just been a dream. There's been this handwriting on the wall here. And he just walks right in with confidence. God's going to be with him. I want to be able to have that in my life as the world becomes more wicked today. The Jews were in captivity and they're looking for a Messiah. This will bring freedom to us. And Jesus said, I tell you what's going to bring freedom to you is knowing the truth. The truth will set you free. And he never said much about freedom physically. Because, you know, we can go from, they could go from the Romans ruling them to somebody else ruling them in the next generation. So what he brought them was, you can be free all the way through it. Whom the Son shall make free, he'll be free indeed. You know what, in 2019, who the Son makes free is free indeed. No matter what the world around us says of, you don't have to live that way today. I am so thankful for the freedom. And then even when Jesus was resurrected and in Acts, first chapter, they see him again and they say, okay, maybe at this time, you remember the disciples, they're expecting he's going to break us from this Roman rule. He's going to do it, and we're going to have some special places with him. They ask, and then when he died, you remember, it was like, all that is gone now. There's no hope of that happening. But now when he comes back, one of the questions they want to ask him is, are you going to restore Jerusalem back at this time? Maybe this is what we're looking for. And he says, of the times and the seasons, it's not for you to know. But I tell you what, you'll receive power. I got something for you. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is the power that he wants us to be able to have. Power in my life to resist the wrong. No matter how many religious people say it's okay now to do it, that I have a conviction and a walk with the Lord, that it does not matter if a poll is taken of what now has used to be evil and now it's good. What used to be good is now considered evil, that we would be able to see clearly. This will bring freedom in our life. I want to close with a song. Because you know, this really comes down to individually have being free or being in bondage. And there are so many things that can put us in bondage. There are incidents that can happen in our life. Because of our thought processes, I can be wronged. And I was free yesterday, and now I've been wronged, and this thing has taken over me. It's called lest any root of bitterness springing up. It doesn't have to be the deep sins that the world is going into. The devil has a plan for every one of us. And I want to maintain freedom. When I am wronged, I want to realize where that's really coming from. Is not even really that person that did it. Satan has a plan. He can't get me with any other plan that he gets other people with. So he wants to bring me under bondage to that. And what I can do is take what he said to Peter. Peter, tell you what, you want to be free? Lord, how many times do I forgive someone in a day? 7 times, that ought to be plenty. 70 times 7, you just have you a heart to forgive. Because you know what? What I do with that determines whether I'm in bondage or whether I'm free. A bondage in my mind that can consume me if I let it. I want to be free. I want the Lord to be able to show me the places in my life that can restrict that freedom, can start to slow down that flow, and I'm becoming in bondage and don't realize it. I'd like you to sing this song with me. For so long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. free at last. No longer a slave bound by Satan. No longer under sin's dread control. I was lost and unworthy, yet He gave His only Son, paid the price, emancipated my soul. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. There's a trick that the devil has laid for us as a people of God. There used to be, when I was young, when a person chose to walk back into the world, they would acknowledge, I'm no longer saved. If I ever expect to make heaven my home, I will need to be saved again. You don't hear that anymore.
Yes,
the devil's got a plan for us. What his plan is to move the lines. What was sin for me a while back? It says here, I'm free from the guilt of the past. There's no guilt of the past anymore because I can do any of it.
Yes.
The devil has a plan for us. Lord, help us each one to be free in Him.
Yes.
To be free, I'm going to have to know what the truth is.
Yes.
Because it's going to set me free. I want to know what the truth is about who I am.
Yes.
And the changes that the Lord wants to make in my life.
Yes.
And I want to be free to where He can show me. It is so important for us today to be able to recognize the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
And not be ignorant of his devices. Because he knows that none of us will go back out into sin. We know that I can have no sin in my life and meet God in peace. So you know what he'd like to do is take the label off of it.
Yes.
This is no longer a sin. Because you wouldn't be able to do it before. Folks, may the Lord have mercy on us that we would stay free throughout our life and not allow the devil to bring us into bondage. I desire your prayers.